What's up, Ravens? As we are going into this next episode, we wanted to go ahead and just flag, excuse me, Niall, sir. Niall would like to flag a trigger warning for assault and just generally men being gross, but especially assault and grooming and being gross to a minor. So that's what our trigger warning is this week. Proceed with caution. If that's not your thing, we understand, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hey.
And Caitlin.
Well, hello.
And today we are talking about season 6, episode 13 of One Tree Hill, titled Things a Mama Don't Know, which, fun fact, is a song by Micah Roberts. Whoever that is, good for you.
Micah?
And Micah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. Yeah. And
sometimes I think the writers of these episodes just Googled songs.
Like, yes, exactly.
Songs
what they
with
did.
The word mom in the title.
That's
yeah.
Exactly
if this show was
did.
Being made today, they would put it into like ChatGPT and be like, give me a song title that has to do with, and then this is the plot.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And fun fact, this is the mid-season premiere of the show.
Brutal.
So we're halfway through the season, almost, sort of, yes, kind of. Actually,
brutal.
Yes, we are, because 24 episodes, yes, I can do math, it's fine. So
it's an even number this time.
It is. So we open with kind of where we left off with a lot of people. So Peyton is looking at a photo of her and Ellie as she calls Lucas to tell him something. Turns out that was Lucas she was talking to in the episode before, that we didn't know who she was talking to. And Lucas, he answers and he's worried and asks her what's wrong. And she says, well, I can't call you my fiance anymore, as tears are streaming down her face. And he's in shock. And she tells him instead, how about I call you my baby daddy because I'm pregnant? what do we think of that
revelation?
I'd like
to take a moment to rant about the fact that both of them, not just Peyton, said we're pregnant.
Yeah.
No, that is not how this works. Lucas is not carrying her child or carrying a child. Peyton is pregnant. They are not pregnant.
Yes.
If you've never watched the rant that Mila Kunis goes on, I think it's on either Fallon or Kimmel on YouTube. It's fucking hilarious. And she basically goes off about being like, we are not pregnant. Your wife is pregnant. And it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to write the timestamp down. This was timestamp 146. I almost just turned it off. I'm not going to lie. This was episode 1 of 2 that I had to watch for today. And I'm like a minute 46 in, done by this fucking show. And the fact that this was like how long was it between the last episode and this episode?
Like time wise?
Yeah, like real time.
Real time. It was the mid-season finale was like mid-November. This was late January.
Yeah, okay.
They had to wait like 2 months.
If this television show would have let me hang for a month and a half and then came back with this bullshit, we're pregnant, I would have quit. I would have quit. I'm done with One Tree Hill now. Bye. Like, I would have been so pissed.
So we're not happy that Peyton is pregnant.
I am just flushed with joy. But the bullshit, cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger of her being in pain, her going to the doctor, having the cancer diagnosis thing on her computer screen, all of that stuff turns out, oh, no, she's just pregnant. She just got knocked up.
Every other character that has had a child in this television show has gotten the like set up reward, like without the trauma. And I'm just mad for Peyton Sawyer. Like, why does she get the most traumatic pregnancy?
Because the
reveal?
Creator of this show always gives Peyton trauma.
Yes, I hate it. I fucking hate it.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Congratulations, Lucas and Peyton. The child's gonna be beautiful and broody and love sad music. But yes. This reveal. Anyway.
Yes. Speaking of phone calls, then we then go to Nathan, who Haley thinks he's on the phone with Deb because Deb apparently calls now and says that she's not coming home. She's sleeping over at Skills's house. And she knows that it grosses her out because they know Deb's not actually sleeping when she's at Skills's place. But no, Nathan was not talking to Deb. He was talking to the Charleston Chiefs. They just hired Nathan as their new point guard.
I am going to only refer to them as the Charleston Chews because that's what I was referring to them in my brain the whole time.
Okie dokie.
And great. Also their name would have been changed.
Not aware of that as a candy.
Yep. It is. Yeah, it is a candy. Yep. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
The Charleston Chews.
Yes. And then in slight plot hole things, because they talk about Deb staying over at Skills, is Skills is in the apartment with Mouth and telling him, well, Deb's not there. And it's just kind of funny to me that it's like, where's Deb? Is she in Skills' bedroom? What's going on? But it's funny.
She just hangs out in Skills' bedroom. Like any girl who goes and hangs out with her boyfriend that has three roommates.
Exactly. Yeah. Dear God.
Especially when there is a 30-year age gap. She's not hanging out with Mouth.
Well, 30-year age gap. 18.
Sure.
18-year age gap. And her son is friends with all of your boyfriend's roommates and your boyfriend.
It's fine. It's not a plot hole at all.
It's not
fine.
Gross
it's fine.
At all.
It's fine,
Deb. Good for you. Yeah. Glad that's still happening.
Yeah. Yeah. But no. So Skills sits down with Mouth and Mouth tells him that Millie left him because, you know, of his whole thing with Gigi. And Skills tells him that Gigi was trouble from the start. And Mouth says maybe he did enjoy the attention from Gigi and he did deserve to lose Millie after all.
One of the things I love most about Skills is, like, a lot of times you see this in TV shows and also in real life where someone is like, just say I told you so. And the person responds with, I'm not going to do that because you're hurting. Mm-hmm. And Skills does not take that approach.
No. Skills is the audience which goes, yes, we told you so. Don't do it. And you did. And guess what? It ended badly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I am Skills. I am that friend that it's like, who will sit there and go, yeah, I fucking told you so. Mm-hmm. I will not spare your, I know you're sad, but it's like, if you sit there and go, don't tell me I told you so. I'm like, no, I fucking told you so.
But I did.
Yeah, exactly.
I will remind you that I was correct.
Yes. And then it cuts real quick to Millie the next day, just sobbing in the store. And Brooke drives up and finds a cop. And as she's been looking all night for Sam, and she asks him, you know, can she file a report? They need to find Sam. And the cop basically says, well, she hasn't been gone long enough. And you say she has a history of running away and coming back. So really nothing I can do. You can come back tomorrow when she's been gone for 24 hours.
This is when Brooke realizes a cab is for real.
Yep. And she literally says, protect and serve my ass.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we get a really cute scene where Nathan and Haley wake up Jamie and he's like, I don't want to get up. And they're like, why? This might be the best day ever. Like, you know, with your birthday and Chester and all this stuff wrapped up into one. And they tell him that Nathan made the Charleston Chiefs and Jamie is ecstatic.
Yeah. He's like, give me some time. I'm still sleeping. I'm like, Jamie, I relate to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then speaking of getting woken up, we get a very opposite version of getting woken up by Sam, who wakes up to Jack's brother Xavier just standing over her.
Ugh.
And she asks where Jack is, and he says he's not there. And she goes to leave, but Xavier stops her as he tells her she shouldn't have gone through his stuff, as he knows that she took the sketches, and now she's pissed him off.
I don't know how they managed to find the creepiest man on earth.
Right. I'm sure he's a lovely man. I'm sure he's a lovely man in person, in real life. But, like, damn, dude, you play a creeper so well.
He talking about almost turning it off. Like, this episode was hard to watch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. of him.
Yeah.
And that is like, that is a true testament to how well he did with a very, very, very small part in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. Because he didn't get the setup that, you know, Stalker Derek did. He didn't get, you know, he didn't get the setup that most villains in this TV show get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw him for a split second, the episode that Q died. We saw him with a mask on when Brooke got attacked. And mm-hmm. then, so we've only really known him for, you know, less than an episode at this point in time. But yeah, mm-hmm. it is just, it's uncomfortable. They were taking, once again, all the camera angles out of the horror movie playbook, or the, you know, stalker movie playbook. It was mm-hmm. rough. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah, creepy. It's not good. Lucas is still in LA, obviously, and he's packing to go home when Julian calls him and asks him what happened with the meeting with the director, because apparently it ended badly and the studio wants to meet with him now. And since Lucas wrote the script and they're partners in this, guess what? He has to go clean up his mess.
It's like, sorry, bro. The director was doing coke off my script and wanted to make me fuck my best friend.
And also kill her.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Then we go back to Sam and Xavier, and he's interrogating her, and she tells him that she never told Brooke about him at all. She just gave her back the sketches, and, you know, that she felt guilty, and Xavier mocks her for feeling guilty. And Jack tries to intervene to get Sam out of there, but Xavier just hits him across the face and locks them both in the room.
Yep.
Yep.
I hate it.
Yep. Yep. Moving on. Moving on. Peyton gets to Trick and she sees Owen sneaking drinks and she says she thought he was sober and he says not anymore. Great. Great.
Cool.
Yep.
I forgot what happens later in this episode.
Uh-huh.
And at first I was like, that was not the correct reaction, Peyton Sawyer.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You were not nearly concerned enough. And then
we find out what happens later.
We find out what she went and did. And I was like, okay, never mind. I retract my previous statement.
Yes. Yes. So Peyton gets into Red Bedroom Records and Mia is there. And she is there ready to apologize to Peyton for their fight they had last episode. And they're all fine. They make up. They're great. And Mia tells her she feels like she can't write like she did for the first record. And Peyton tells her, well, that's because you had, you know, years of writing to be able to create that first record. And this is going to take some time. And Peyton says she's going to buy her some time with the label and she can keep trying to write and they're going to be just fine. And Mia leaves. And Peyton tells her belly, she says, I think we totally rocked that, baby. And Brooke then comes in and tells her that Sam is gone. Great. Nathan arrives for practice at the Charleston Chiefs, and he grabs a basketball and shoots one in. And we see that Bobby walks in. You know, the guy who was the former general manager who tried to hire Nathan as the coach. Well, guess what? Bobby is now the coach of the Charleston Chiefs.
This is the first time I'm realizing his name's Bobby. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes. 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 Not just slightly tall man with sandy blonde hair.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Not just blonde basketball guy.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, he's Nathan's new coach. Great. Wahoo.
Ooh.
Yes. Then we cut to Jamie, who is hanging out with Andre in the treehouse. And Andre tells him, or he tells Andre about Nathan playing for the Charleston Chiefs. And he's very excited. But then he sees Andre's face and he apologizes because he sees, you know, talking about basketball makes Andre sad. And he says, Andre says that he'd like to visit Q's grave sometime. But his mom won't take him. And Jamie says that he and his mom go sometimes and maybe he can go with them. And Andre says, well, I just wish I could go today. And Jamie says, maybe we can find a way to go. Great. Great. Great.
This is heartbreaking with all mm-hmm. of the scary, sad, you know, overwhelming stuff happening in this episode. Like this story arc was so sad but like wholesome,
and also we'll get to it at the end. I'm so mad something didn't happen with it when they had them in this episode. Anyway. Then we go to Skills, who goes into Brooke's store to talk to Millie, and he tells her just to talk to Mouth, as everything can be taken back. You know, nothing so bad it can't be taken back. Well, great. Little does he know. But anyway, Then Lucas goes to meet with the studio executive, Paul Norris, and Paul immediately starts asking him about Julian and bashing him. And he doesn't talk very favorably about him. And we find out that Paul is actually Julian's father.
This man has big Dan Scott energy in the way of, like, he thinks he's better than his son and he's not afraid to say it.
Yep.
Yes.
What is it with this goddamn show and everyone having horrible parents? Except Lucas's mother.
Somebody on the writing team did not have a good relationship with their father.
So many parental issues.
Big daddy issues. This actor, though, I need to look him up. It's Gregory Harrison is his name. I'm pretty sure he was in an ABC Family original movie called Au Pair back in the 90s.
He totally was. He's totally the dad who falls in love with the au pair. Yes, he is.
Listen, yes. I taped that movie off of cable. And I would fall asleep watching Au Pair.
That was seminal viewing for my, yes. I'm right there with you. You're not alone.
I got very happy when I saw him.
Right? Yes. Caitlin, you have no idea what we're talking about, do you?
Not a damn clue.
Okay. It's fine. Jesse and I know, and those who know about Au Pair will know what we're talking
deep
about
cuts.
And appreciate it.
Deep cuts.
Yes. Okay, then Nathan gets into the locker room and we are introduced to his new teammate, Devin Fox, who we can tell immediately is going to be Nathan's foil and rival on the team. And he basically calls Nathan a stupid idiot for getting thrown through a window, the day before making the NBA. And Devin is now number 23, not Nathan, and he needs to get used to it, dummy. It's the worst written, like, foil villain guy ever. Like, it's just bad. It's just bad.
They just literally went, we're not going to make Q a regular, so we're going to take another person and make him Q.
Yeah.
But, like, bad Q in the beginning, not, like, good Q
Oh, yeah. For sure. Like, yeah. Q when Q was cocky and hadn't read Les Mis yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Because like this makes you a better person, apparently.
Apparently. Yes. Then we go back to Lucas and Paul, and Paul's telling Lucas that Julian, you know, uses his mother's name, which is why, you know, Lucas couldn't put two and two together. And
I would too. Julian Norris does not have a good ring to it.
No.
What is it
like? Julian Baker.
Baker. Yeah. Julian Baker.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes, and we see that Paul is very harsh of Julian the entire time and asks Lucas if Julian is wanting to make a good movie or if he's just wanting to find a way to get Peyton back. And someone needed to tell Paul that storyline got stale, like, I don't know, 6-7 episodes ago. I think we're over that.
At least.
God.
That episode, that
even Julian has moved on.
Right.
That plot line was stale the minute it got introduced. We're like, yawn, move on with it.
Then we go to Mia, who's in the studio, and Haley comes to see her, and Haley has a present for her, which is Mia's old hoodie from when she was first introduced last season, and turns out she wore that hoodie to record, like, the entire first record, and I recognize the hoodie because it's the one she wore with her hood up, and she told Kevin Federline to go fuck himself.
Right, that's the one that she withstood all the K-Fed abuse.
Exactly. And so Haley gives it to her and then asks her if they can find the girl who recorded that first record and make a second one. And Mia's like, yes, let's do it. Then we get a really sad scene of Andre coming into the house to see his mom has made some cookies. And Andre makes note to her that you're making Quentin's favorite cookies again. And we can obviously tell that Andre's mother, whose name is Denise, is obviously still very much in mourning and very, you know, she's still struggling, obviously, with the loss of Q. And he takes some of the cookies and goes back outside. And Andre lies to Jamie and says that his mom said it's totally okay for them to go see Q's grave. And she even packed him some cookies. So the boys sneak out of the yard and go to find Q's grave.
This is so sad, but I love that Jamie's bringing that wooden sword with him. He's like, let's go. Like, it was very sweet.
Because he's five.
He's five.
He's 5 years old. Yeah. Then Brooke and Peyton are out looking for Sam, and Brooke stops, and Peyton tells her, can you please kind of slow down because I'm getting kind of car sick, and Brooke starts to break down in front of her and admits that she never got to tell Sam she loves her or tell her anything, you know, about how she doesn't blame her for the attack and all that kind of stuff, and Peyton assures her they're going to find her and she can tell her everything. Great. Great.
Yeah.
Then Jack and Sam try to escape. And Jack actually gets a window open. He is able to get through, but as Sam is trying to climb through, Xavier comes in, catches her, and throws her to the ground and tells her that Jack isn't going to help her or find anybody to help them as he ties her up with duct tape.
Ugh, that shot of him just like pulling the strip of duct tape off into the camera and then it cut to either commercial or the next scene. That was so much. This is so much.
Yeah. Ugh. I almost feel like unnecessarily so, but it's, Then at Brooke's store, Julian shows up and Peyton immediately tells him to leave when Brooke stops her and says, no, I know you were out looking for Sam last night. The waitress ratted you out. And Julian just says she's a good kid and asks, how did it all turn out? She come home and Brooke says no. And she starts to spiral talking about it until the spiral leads her to Jack Daniels. And she's like, no, not the drink, the floppy-haired kid. And Julian's like, oh, yeah, I know him. He's with Sam at the diner all the time. And says he'll keep an eye out for him. Great.
Evan Peters, you know the kid.
Yeah, Evan Peters. Exactly, exactly. Yes. And then we go back to Lucas and Paul in the most tired storyline ever, as Paul tells Lucas that he should be worried about Julian and Peyton. Dear God. No.
And Lucas in his head is like, Peyton is literally pregnant with my child. I have nothing to be afraid of. Like,
exactly.
He is the most secure in their relationship he's ever been.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And Lucas just tells Paul, you don't like your son too much, do you? And Paul says that he had a vision for Julian and he fell short of that vision he had for him.
All right, Dan. We get it. Seriously.
And we find out that, you know, Julian and Paul have disagreements about the director, and he asks Lucas what he thinks. And Lucas says that the director doesn't have the same vision to care about the characters in the story that needs to be cared for with this story. And he says that, you know, he's not the right one. And Paul admits that Julian said the same thing as Lucas. Yeah.
About
the director. They're on the same page about the director. Apparently, they don't like a director who snorts coke off of a script. It's
weird.
Yeah, right? Who would have thunk that one?
Dawson can go fuck himself. We'll find someone else.
Right? Yes. Then Andre and Jamie, we get a quick scene of them walking through the woods and talking about ghosts. And they're being typical five-year-olds. And yeah, great, great.
The whole, how do you know we're going the right way? Oh, I'm following that ghost was so good.
It was so funny.
So I loved it.
I loved it. Yes. Then, at practice, Nathan is being taunted by Devin and Nathan struggles to keep up with him, to the point where Bobby subs Nathan out of practice and Devin tells him to get real comfortable on the bench. I hate it.
You're not the main character on this show, Devin.
Yeah, go away.
I do think it's Devon, not Devin, for clarity.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, that would. Devon. There we go. Then Mia is playing Haley a song, and Haley is not feeling it at all. And she asks what the song's about. And Mia says, well, I'm writing the song so I don't have to record the crap the label wants me to record. And Haley tells her, you know, well, what was the original record about, the first record? And she's like, well, I wrote all those songs about, you know, getting back at a boyfriend and all this kind of stuff and living life. And Haley's like, that's exactly it. You have to live some life to be able to write your songs. So get out of the studio and go live some life.
Oh,
right.
Mama Haley.
Yep. And so as Mia's leaving, they're like, where are you going? She's like, I'm going to go live some life, apparently. And yes, then Brooke and Peyton come back to the studio and tell Haley about Sam. Great. Then Millie comes home to Mouth and he immediately apologizes to her and he asks her for another chance. And she tells him that she had sex the night before.
And Mouth gets real gross and I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth freezes in shock and she apologizes and admits that it was wrong, and Mouth just leaves.
Yep. We can't have one decent guy on this show. We can't have just one man who doesn't get gross about women in this show.
We do. His name is Nathan Scott.
Sure. Yeah. But he's, on a different level.
Yeah. Just, I know.
I'm bad.
Yeah. Then we go back to Haley, Brooke, and Peyton, and Haley gives Brooke Jack's address. And Peyton's like, all right, let's go. And Brooke's like, no, I think I need to go by myself because I don't want to feel like I'm ambushing her. And Sam and I just need the time to talk on our own. So I'm going to go.
Nope,
and
buddy
like
system.
Like the dummies that Haley and Peyton are, they let her go by herself.
Haley knows what kind of family Jack comes from. She's gotta, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Buddy system, ladies. Come on.
Yes. So Brooke leaves and Haley hopes that Sam is okay and how she wishes that she could just, you know, homeschool Jamie and lock him up and keep him safe forever. And Peyton just blurts out, that's going to be my plan, and immediately tries to cover it up. But Haley says, you're pregnant. And Peyton's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Haley just screams, I call dibs on Godmother.
One of the first thing Peyton said to Lucas was, it's too early to tell anyone.
And then they proceed to tell everyone over the next two episodes.
Yep. It's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Okay, then we get a really gross scene of we see Brooke walking up to Xavier's house. And he sees her through the window and shoves Sam in a closet and says to not make a sound or he'll make her an orphan again. To then which he lets Brooke in and tells her he doesn't know where Jack is. And the whole conversation he has with her is just really super creepy.
Gross.
I hated every second of it.
He is clearly deranged.
Yes.
And clearly. Yes.
The fact that it took Brooke as long as it did to realize something was off concerns me.
Well, Sam did tell her that he beats on Jack, you know, so like Brooke knew he wasn't a good guy.
Yeah.
So I can see her in the stress of Sam is missing, you know, in the single-mindedness. I can see her overlooking some massive red flags.
Yeah, she's just looking for Sam and going, okay, Sam's not here. He doesn't know where she is. I need to go find Sam.
Yeah.
Done.
But agreed that the man is built of red flags, like T to B. Bad news.
Yeah. Then we go back to Nathan and Coach Bobby's talking to him and tells him, you know, he's got to hang in there and he needs to keep working. But he also has to realize that Nathan scares a lot of these players. As this B League is their NBA, and they know that it is not the NBA for Nathan, that he's destined for greater things. And Nathan gets into the locker room and sees that he'd put up some photos of Haley and Jamie and Q, and Devon had ripped them up.
That sucks.
Because apparently Devon is also 5 years old.
Apparently. And Nathan tells him that he goes up to him and tells him that he's coming for his spot, but he can have it back when he goes to play for the NBA. Right. Then we cut to Andre and Jamie, and Andre's talking about how he sees his mom crying a lot. And we then cut to Andre's mom going out in the yard and finding that the boys are gone. With a note that says, went to go see Quentin.
Yeah.
BRB. BRB, going to the graveside. It's fine.
Went to talk to ghosts. Bye.
Yep. Then we go back to Trick, where Owen is sneaking drinks when a very familiar face catches him in the act. It is Chase, everybody. Chase is back.
Woo.
Yep. And Chase shows up and just calls him an idiot.
We all need friends like that, right? Like,
yep. Exactly. Yep. Then we go back to Lucas and Paul tells him that they need to find the right producer for this movie, and he doesn't think that's Julian. He wants to fire him. But Lucas stands up for Julian and tells him that he says he believes that Julian wants to make a great movie, and apparently that convinces Paul enough to let Julian stay on as producer.
Plot twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing what the bonding of having shitty dads will do.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Shitty dads who don't believe in them, I should add, because lest we forget, Dan always was like, oh yeah, Nathan's destined for greatness, even if I'm better than him. He spent 17 years of Lucas's life telling Lucas he was a piece of shit who wasn't going to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. We love trauma bonding.
Yeah. 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 Then Owen asks Chase why he's there, and Chase says Peyton called him. So good on Peyton for having the correct response and getting some help for Owen. Yay.
She literally said, I do not have the mental capacity to deal with this. I don't know this man well enough. I'm going to call someone who does.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And so he asks what happened, and Owen says that, he ended up getting hurt at the slam ball finals, and, he was on some pain meds, which caused him to obviously relapse. And Chase says that, you know, he needs help, but Owen says, I can't just leave Trick. I manage the bar. I can't just do that. And Chase is like, well, I'll fill in for you while you go get some help.
Friends.
So we're trading a Joe Manganiello for a Stephen Coletti. Okay.
Sure.
Great. Cool.
I accept that trade.
Me too. Me too. Yep. And then we get a really quick cut to the diner where Jack finds Julian and asks him for help. Kids, because here's the scene. Here we go. Brooke goes to leave Xavier's house, and he kind of mocks her for taking Sam in. And she leaves, and he tells her to have a nice night as he shuts the door.
He needs to get a new line.
I thought the same thing. I was like, you really think she wasn't going to remember that? You assaulted her.
I don't think he cares.
No.
I think he thinks he's so much more powerful than she is that she's not going to do anything. But it flashes back to Brooke and her attack on the season opener here, and he said to her, have a nice night, during the attack. And she realizes he's her attacker, and she immediately starts banging on his door. He opens up the door to her, pepper spraying him in the face and running inside looking for Sam.
She learned something from Scary Derek.
Yep, exactly. She finds Sam in the closet, but Xavier catches up to her and they fight. Brooke struggles with him until she gets to her purse, and he's like, oh, what are you going to do? He starts mocking her and saying, you know, you privileged little princess, what are you going to do? She pulls a gun out of her purse and points it directly at his face. And she tells him she is not the girl from the store anymore, as she is gone. She then prepares to shoot him when Sam begs her not to. Julian and Jack also arrive at that same time, and as Sam is begging for Brooke to stop, she calls her mom. And Brooke tells Xavier that he's not worth her time, and especially not the rest of her life. She hits him with the gun and knocks him out, telling him to have a nice night.
Yeah, I did not have Brooke pistol whips cues killer on my One Tree Hill season 6 bingo card.
Uh-huh. But glad it still happened?
So absolutely. Glad it happened.
Yep. Sam runs into Brooke's arms, and Brooke tells her that she's safe now. Great.
Yeah.
Then Jamie and Andre arrive at Q's grave, and they're there a whole like 30 seconds before Andre's mom finds them. Mm-hmm. And Andre apologizes.
I was like, she drove.
Exactly.
They got little legs. It took them a long time to get there.
Yep. And Andre apologizes and admits that he just wanted to talk to Quentin and ask him to tell their mom that he's all right, so she won't be as sad anymore.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Let's just rip my heart into a million pieces.
I cried.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There were tears. Yep. I almost sent y'all another sad selfie, but I was like, I can't.
Not again.
Yep. Yeah. Then we get a quick scene of Mia in the studio and Chase interrupting her to ask if Peyton's around. And when she says she's not, Chase asks her, does she know how to make a Long Island iced tea? Great. Quick cut over to Millie packing her bags and apologizing to Mouth again as she leaves the apartment. We then go back to Mia, who makes Chase that Long Island iced tea, and he admits to her that he has no idea what he's doing, and does she want a job? And she says, I can't, because I'm 18. And she tells him that if it's any consolation, she has no idea what she's doing in the studio.
I did not realize Mia was 18.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Okay. She's 18.
She's a baby.
Yep.
Just the baby.
Yep. Then the police are at Xavier's, and as Julian goes to take Brooke and Sam home, the cops find Quentin's wallet. And they put the pieces together that Xavier is the one who killed Quentin, and Brooke breaks down in Julian's arms.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yep. Then Jamie and Haley call Nathan after practice, and it's an adorable scene where they're asking about how his day went, and Nathan's like, no, I want to hear about your day. And Haley's like, yeah, Jamie, you want to tell your dad about your day? About how you snuck off to the graveyard? Okay, no, okay. And Jamie's like, no, I want to hear about your day, Daddy.
Yeah. Was it everything you ever wanted?
Was it a dream come true? And Nathan says that
I'm going to distract you from the fact that I ran away again.
Again.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
For a kid who's been kidnapped twice, he certainly has no fear.
Nope.
Kidnapped twice and brought to a high school party by a baby. Like,
yeah. This
kid ends up in the most inappropriate places.
I'm pretty sure he just has, like, he doesn't have fear anymore. I think his fear complex is gone. It's just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got over all of his fears in life after soapbox race when the dummy that was him exploded.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And the final scene is Lucas getting home from LA to Peyton, and she tells him that she and the baby are both good. They kiss and they are a happy family.
Some weird belly smooches, like lingering belly smooches that I did not need to see.
Didn't love that.
Yep. And the episode ends.
Oh, thank God.
Right? What else do we need out of this episode? Dear God. So what did we think of the episode, kids?
Chase is back.
Yay. There's the pro. The con is we had to sit through. Oh, God. Right? It was
not
just
everything else. Peyton's happy she's pregnant.
That's adorable. Pregnant. Yes. Yes. But then we had to deal with a crappy dad, a killer guy who I don't like. I'm glad it's resolved. I am glad the mystery is resolved. It's done. Hopefully we can move on from it because I don't want to talk about it again.
I'm assuming, except maybe in flashbacks, we don't see X again.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's lovely. I love that for us.
I will say I did also enjoy is a weird word to use, but I don't know how else to use it. The fight between X and Brooke was very well choreographed.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was very well choreographed and I liked it a lot.
It is a well done scene. It portrays what we need to portray. The fight choreography is good. There's also real terror in it, which was a lot, but it was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the surprise of
he also recovered very quickly from being pepper sprayed. I meant to say that earlier and I forgot.
Yeah. No, he does. He does. He does.
He had milk on hand.
Apparently. That's what took so long. Because, I'm sorry. That house looks tiny from the outside. On the inside, there's like 12 bedrooms. It was massive.
I think it's one of those houses like the ones in like that you build in The Sims where the front of the house makes it look very small, but then
it the must have because building she went through like 5 or 6 doors before she found Sam.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like a house you build in The Sims where the person building the house has no architectural experience whatsoever. And instead of building, up, they build back.
Well, it's like an old ranch house, where it's just like one big hallway that leads to the back of the bedroom. Like, some of those doors were probably closets or a bathroom or whatever. But I don't know why I blame like The Shining, but long hallways with just too many doors are terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need a scary scene, just put it in a hallway with too many doors.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Also, I didn't mention it before, but it's also very telling and very, very, very creepy and disturbing how Xavier already had a bolt lock on the outside of that door that he locked Jack and Sam in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was a lot.
Uh-huh. Dear God.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if the writers thought that far. I'm sure they were just like, oh, we've got to lock him in and trap him in. But thinking about that, that's a lot.
I would like to think that that's probably Jack's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in addition to beating on him whenever his brother pisses him off, he probably locks him in that room.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's just so much about that whole... I did for a large majority of this episode think that X was going to sexually assault Sam. Mm-hmm.
It was heavily implied that he was considering it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even after Brooke got there and during that like weird ass conversation they were having where, you know, X is like, do you think they're having sex? And Brooke's like, no. And he's like, what's wrong with sex? It's like, oh, so he's going to go after Brooke then. Like, there was just like this tone of this man is capable of literally anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has no qualms, you know, using his scary, scary face to, you know.
Has no qualms about being the absolute worst version of himself.
Yeah. No, it was, I think that's where the tension of this episode came from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this I man agree. Has no boundaries. This man's, and, man has no limits. The,
and
violence. The thing is,
and we didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because we don't know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm happy Mia's back. Because it seems like Mia's going to be back for a little while, at least, which is great.
She's got an album to write.
She's got an album to write. So she's back in Red Bedroom Records writing her album. You know, Chase is back for we don't know how long. I'm assuming 90 days, right? 60 days? How long? 30 days? How long's a rehab program?
Yeah, 90 days. Yeah.
90 days? Yeah, yeah.
Enough, so he's back enough time for him to learn how to make a Long Island.
Fingers crossed. Dear God, man. Dear
just
God.
Pick up some bottles and dump them in a glass. Like, you've
seriously,
got it.
Seriously.
It's all you got to do.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I liked the episode, I think, on parts of it. And parts of it I didn't like. But the Jamie Andre stuff was very good and very touching. And again, the woman who plays Q's mom is so good at her role.
Mm-hmm. Was this meant to be like a cap on the Q storyline? Like, do we see his mom anymore?
I don't remember. And that's the part that I was kind of upset about, is that we don't get her finding out that we found Q's killer.
Yeah.
She's in this episode. We find out that, you know, the characters find out that Xavier is the one who killed Q, and we don't get any of that from her this episode. Mm-hmm. So...
yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like closure. Like, on top of her finally going to the grave, like, getting at the very least someone knocking on her door, you know, we don't have to hear that conversation.
No. But
that's. But
to know that his killer's been brought to justice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that Haley told her when she picked up Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice headcanon. I'll take that.
I like that. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Haley's just take care of everyone in this town. Once again, she is the mom of the town.
She is everyone's mom now that Karen is off in England or Europe or wherever with Andy and Lily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just being a rich guy's partner, you know, running around. Love that for her. She deserves it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Anything else we want to add about the episode, kids? Or are we ready to wrap?
We are ready.
Okay.
Done. All right, that's gonna do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars, give us a good review. It really does help us out in the long run with those lovely podcast algorithms. If you have any questions, comments, and or concerns, hit us up on Instagram in the DMs. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. And we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.